Hey, this is Michael Hutchinson, and you're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
And my next guest is TJ Connor from City 92. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, pal. How are you? Thanks for inviting me. I guess I'm number two fiddle to Dave Turnbull. What, he was on with you a couple weeks ago or what?
He's been on a few times.
Well, nice of you to finally think of me. I appreciate it.
Well, and then if I invite Rena, it should be the third fiddle.
There you go.
So, what do you think about the CFL-NFL merger possibility?
CFL and XFL going down. I'm interested to see where it goes. Again, preliminary talks, conversations that I'm not privy to. I think it's interesting. I'm surprised that there are some people that would rather see the CFL fold in a way than actually support this merger. I'm a big CFL guy. Grew up watching the CFL, obviously. Big Bomber fan. Worked for the Bombers for a bit, and I think the CFL, if they can get back to playing their game this year, I think they'll be in good shape. But again, it's a ticket-based, fan-driven league, right? So they've got to sell tickets, and without that, they may need to lean on somebody who's got a lot more money, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the XFL.
Yeah, this is the second stint for the XFL, so they needed big money backing from The Rock and others, right? So back in the 90s, they had the American teams, right?
Back in the mid-90s, yeah, I remember it well. Like, I was, probably 10, 12 years old, something like that. And I used to love the American teams. I know Matt Dunnigan played for the Memphis Mad Dogs. He had Tracy Ham was the quarterback for Baltimore, who ended up winning the Grey Cup. It was cool. It was interesting to see the CFL grow back then. And it was interesting the first year that the XFL came out, too. I used to watch it on, I think it was Thursday night was their big night on NBC. And I watched the first incarnation of that, too. CFL's got a great history. But, whatever it takes to grow the game, I guess.
That's the thing. People are worried about, losing the Canadian style of game. I think they, should adopt the, Canadian thing and keep it that way instead of going American.
Yeah, like the three downs you're talking about. Well, it's interesting too, because I just learned this week. Apparently a lot of high school football, not in Manitoba, but Ontario and BC, they actually play four down football already. Okay. And these are high school kids, right? So do I think you need four downs to get 10 yards? No, not necessarily, but like I say, I mean, it would be different. It would be a surprise for them to go four downs. I mean, really, the CFL is the league with the cachet. It's been around for over 100 years. The XFL is a fledgling league. I mean, they haven't had a proven track record of success. The only thing that they do have going for them is deep pockets, right? So, I think anytime you have a merger of two big businesses, you'll find that you got to make concessions and you got a little give and take. If it's four downs that comes to the CFL, I mean, obviously I'll support it. I still want to go to games. I still want to watch it. I'm not a purist, and I'm not against, the growth of the league. So, and you're right. Should they stick with the Canadian rules as far as the field goes and stuff? Yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense, but at the end of the day, there's people in boardrooms who make a hell of a lot more money than you and I put together. Yeah. They're the ones making the decisions. So.
So, did you catch the Jets game last night?
Yeah, I was watching the Jetties, man. They're looking pretty good. Honestly, they're a little scary defensively. I don't know how deep they are on the back end as far as making a run, but for the first half of this shortened season, Toronto has been the cream of the crop as far as the North Division goes. So I really think. I think the Jets have a good chance at coming out of this North Division, and we'll see. Because, again, it's so hard to tell how good they are, how they stack up against those other heavy hitters, because we haven't seen the other divisions, we haven't seen the other conferences. I don't know about you. Like, I don't even really watch much of the other divisions. You know, like, could really Emily expand, but I feel like I know. But then again, who knows, man? It, you know, once you get down through the playdowns, like think about this. You get through the first round of the playoffs, and you get the second round. You're not coming out of the North Division until the third round of the playoffs. So you're already basically in the conference championship by the time you're out of the North Division. So, you know, and once you get to the conference championship, it's a best of seven. That's, I mean, anybody can win. Anybody can go on to the Stanley Cup final. So is this the year for the Jets? I don't know, but I definitely think that they're looking pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, they are. Pierre LeBrun did an article and talking about sending a first-round pick and Sammy Niku to Nashville for their big defenseman there, Eklund.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear that. But, you know, again, the rumors are swirling. The challenge is this 14-day quarantine rule, because in 14 days, you know, basically you make the trade, and the guy's got to sit on the sidelines for 2 weeks, so he's not contributing to your lineup. So if the deadline's April 10th or April 12th, whatever it is, you better get that deal done before the deadline if you want this guy to be an impact, right? You don't want to do it right at the deadline and wait until just before the playoffs to get this guy in the lineup, because, you know, you got to have guys gel and stuff. But any addition that the Jets can make on the back end, I think, would be welcome for sure.
Yeah, so time will tell how things go. And so what do you think about singers doing singing other people's songs?
Sorry, who's singing other people's songs?
Like
cover songs?
Covers, yes. Cover songs, yes.
What do I think of covers? You know what? There are some great, great cover songs. I mean, when you think of some of the legendary artists that have had huge songs, you know, Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower. That's, you know, a great, great tune. Was it done better than Bob Dylan's original? I think so. Rock radio thinks so. I think, yeah, certainly there have been some bad ones over the years, but there have been some really, really good cover songs, and I'm here for it, man. You know what? I'm always interested in hearing an artist, somebody who's creative, their ability to put their own melody and their own spin on the vocals and, you know, take some liberties. I think a cover song, if done well, can be, like I say, as good or better than the original.
What do you think about Weezer doing Africa?
Yeah, that really blew up for them, didn't it? And actually, I don't know if you know this, but the guys Toto, yeah. The band Toto, who did the song Africa, they actually covered a Weezer song shortly after that. Okay. For them, it you know, the song came out in 1979, and it probably hadn't been on the charts ever since then. So for a band like Toto, they're probably thanking Weezer that it's like, hey, we really appreciate being brought back into the spotlight here 30-some-odd years later. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that one was, I thought it was really well done. Although I do, you know, that's one of the originals, certainly, you know, but Weezer's great, and they put their own spin on it. So it worked out. That's one of those cases where the cover song, it definitely worked out.
I like Weezer and like how they did it. And there's another one, Britney Spears did I Love Rock and Roll from Joan Jett. I like Jett better.
Absolutely, yeah. No, hey, anytime I get to chat about Britney Spears, you know, I'm here for it. Yeah, that cover was pretty good. Joan Jett, she did a pretty cool collaboration too with Miley Cyrus at the Super Bowl this year. If you watched that right before the Super Bowl, Joan Jett's still kicking around, man. She's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. Was it last year, 2 years ago? I don't know, this last year has been a blur. But yeah, so she gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Joan Jett still is relevant today as she was in 1980 playing with the Blackhearts. She's done a collaboration with the Foo Fighters. Her and Dave Grohl have a pretty good chemistry. They did something a few years ago at the, I guess it would have been the Grammys, which are tonight, as a matter of fact. You going to be watching?
Yeah, and I understand your favorite sentence from a song is choking on a chili dog.
Sucking on a chili dog.
Yeah, I hate,
Yeah, that's that song Jack and Diane has always made me chuckle. I don't know, I just you know, the lyrics are so simple. I mean, that's what Mellencamp is. It's that true Americana sort of folksy middle America sound, you know? Like, it's just a true heartland rock song. And the lyrics just go, it's basically, you know, the story of Jack and Diane and, you know, two kids growing up in the heartland. And at one point, they're going outside the Tasty Freeze and they're sucking on a chili dog. And I just, since I was a kid, I always thought that was the funniest and stupidest line in a song. And now on our show, on 92.1 City, it's turned into just a pretty big running gag. And, I don't know, anytime I can slide in a sucking on a chili dog line, I'm all about it. I love that. That's a great line.
So at Jets games, they have a jet dog. So you going to put some chili on a jet dog?
There you go. Yeah, sucking on a jumbo jet chili dog. Man, I miss that. You know what? Damn you for bringing that up. I was downtown yesterday. It was my buddy's birthday. So I went and met him for a couple beers. And man, being downtown, it's so sad to think that, you know, the Jets are playing inside the arena and there's just no fans, you know, like, I don't know, just walking down by the arena. I don't spend a lot of time downtown, so while I was down there, I was just kind of taking it all in and thinking about how much I miss going to concerts and how much I miss, you know, going to hockey games. Because not that I'm going to a ton of Jets games, but definitely, you know, I'd say sort of that one a month kind of thing with a buddy or something. It's always a good Friday or Saturday night out, and it's such a bummer that arena is a ghost town right now.
Yeah, like, I got season tickets, so it's like, it's kind of hard to...
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, big money. I don't know. I don't even know how much season tickets are anymore. I just know tickets are easier to get now. Like, the first couple of years when they came back, like, I would have been, like, just begging you. I've been like, oh, hey, please take me to a game. Now it's like, people give you tickets for a Tuesday night game against Columbus, and you're like, ah... I don't know. You know what I mean? Tickets are pretty... They were definitely getting easier to come by as time's gone on. I don't know if the... I don't think the novelty of having the Jets back is worn off as much as I think it's the cost. Like, every time you go out, even if I don't buy the game tickets, I just buy the beer and maybe the wings beforehand or something. Still ends up being $200-$300 every time you go out, right? So, you know, it's a good night out, but it can be an expensive night out for sure.
Yeah, so... It's different times, like the Moose are playing all the Iceplex. That's totally
right.
Different.
Yeah, actually, so last Sunday, this is funny. So I was staying at the Delta. So I'm a realtor on the side too. So I, you know, on the side, I mean, I do real estate. So we had showings at our house. I actually just listed and sold our house in the past week, and with having two kids. I decided that it was just best to get out of the house instead of cleaning up multiple times a day for showings. And so we ended up down at the Delta.
Yeah.
And I was on a phone call, and I walked into the lobby, and I see this guy wearing a pea coat and kind of a curled up toque and long, you know, longish hair, kind of a unibrow. And immediately I texted Turnbull, my co-host there, and I was like, dude, I'm like, I think Austin Matthews is it, like, I think they're here at the Delta. He's like, what? No. And I'm like, I don't know. They got off a team bus and, you know, there's like 20 dudes that are like young guys. They're all tall and fit looking. And he said, no, it can't be because the Jets are in Toronto. And I was like, oh, okay. So we looked online and it turned out it was the Stockton Heat that were staying at the hotel. So it was like the AHL affiliate of the Calgary Flames. A bit of a far cry from Austin Matthews, but I guess I was seeing things. You know, I wasn't expecting to see anybody in a hotel, let alone some random fourth liner from the American Hockey League team.
Yeah, so, like, when they're on, always kind of, there's always a couple guys who are not dressed sitting in the stands and, like, watching the games, and it's like, easy to pick out, and...
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I remember well. I spent a lot of time at the old Winnipeg Arena, and I was a bit of a rink rat, and would always, you know, the guys in the stands, I would be able to find them. Like, I'd pick them out of a crowd, always go chat them out, whether it was them or the scouts or whatever. Always, I love the guy in the stands. It's funny because I played junior hockey, And, you know, I won't lie. I wasn't very good. So I spent a lot of time in the stands myself. So I guess it all kind of came full circle as I became a young man, 18, 19 years old, playing in the Manitoba Junior League and sitting in the stands, keeping stats. It all came full circle for me.
Yeah. So as I met like different players over the years, like Lundqvist, met him.
Yep.
Mike Fisher.
Biggest hog in the league. That's what they say. Biggest hammer in the league.
Yeah, so yes, different players coming. So thanks for coming on.
Awesome, buddy.
Yes, and the next time probably get you and Turnbull on.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man. Yeah, we always have fun together.
Yeah. So
okay, buddy.
Next time we get Barry on.
Okay, yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks for that.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaileprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
Welcome to the Front Row Podcast. Tyler, welcome back.
Thank you very much, buddy. It's good to be back. It's only been a few episodes, but always a pleasure hopping on your show.
Yeah, I guess we're doing a man short again tonight.
What's going on tonight, sorry?
We're a man short.
Oh, we are a man short, yep. Again, shorthanded. We're left in the dust by your former co-host. Always fun sitting down and chatting hockey with him. He's a bright mind when it comes to hockey and, I mean, movies and everything, really, right? So, it's a big loss, but just like most sports teams, when their star player goes down, you know, the Grinders got to rally together, and we should be able to put together a good episode for the Front Row faithful tonight.
Yes. So, I'm going to have a special guest later on the episode.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. So, and he be coming on. So, what do you think? What's your thoughts on the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, I mean, I would say that they're sitting right about as high as I thought they would be right now. What are they sitting second in the North Division right now, despite getting pummeled by Montreal last night?
Yeah,
I think they were due for a beatdown. So I'm not gonna put too much stock into that game. I didn't watch it, actually, but I did see that I think Montreal was winning the game 7-0. That's about as ugly as a loss is.
7-1.
Yes, was it 7-1? Yeah.
Yeah, French, you got the goal.
Yes, Mathieu Perreault, of course. Some home cooking for Matty. But I would say the Jets are humming along pretty good. As Bernsey likes to often critique the D-zone coverage, it has been glaring at times that they do seem to lose numbers below their own blue line. And I'll say that even as kind of an old-school eye test guy versus an analytical guy, it's pretty evident that the Jets struggle at 5-on-5 on defense. They tend to break down quite easy, at least in my opinion. However, they have such strong firepower up front. Dubois has already got 2 overtime goals. I don't think they've lost in overtime yet this year. They just have so much talent, so much speed up front. I think that they can kind of, they're almost like a you know, somebody that's extra good looking and they get in trouble and they can just kind of find their way out of trouble because they're good looking. I feel like the Jets, because they have so much skill, even though they might be a little bit ugly on the back end, they're so good looking up front that they can get themselves out of trouble.
Oh, that's why you're on the back end then, right?
Hey, yeah, yeah. Well, there's nothing good looking about my game, Don. So, but I try to have a little bit of charm, and you know, in life, and it seems to not have let me down so far. So maybe I do have a little bit of Ehlers in me.
Yeah, you know, he's played pretty fly.
Yeah, isn't that his nickname, Fly, I've heard?
Yeah, Fly.
That's a pretty suiting nickname for him. He's a heck of a player. He's really, really come into his own this year, especially in the absence of Laine.
Yes. And So Connor, I like that line of Connor, Dubois, and Ehlers.
Yeah, what's not to like about it? I mean, Ehlers is, it's nice to have a guy that can play on both wings. You've got Ehlers playing the right wing as the left shot, which I don't think he's done too often in his time in Winnipeg here. But it is really, really nice to see. And one thing about the Jets is you seem to be able to plug anybody anywhere so far. I mean, Dubois was playing on the top line there when he first got in, and now he's settled into that second line role. So they're so versatile and so flexible. Their top six is just phenomenal. And you end up with a guy like Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry playing a little bit further down the lineup. But I would say their forward group is about as good as any in the NHL. I'd almost take theirs over most teams. So, yeah, very happy with where the Jets are at. Very, very happy.
Yes. Defense, if I had a choice, I have Ewan Curdy, Bernsey, and Brady as my top four.
And you've talked about that before. You know, I would not go with that lineup. I think you need a little bit more you think you need a little bit more speed out of that group. Not saying all of us have cement in our boots, but you know, having a guy like Josh Morrissey isn't so bad. Actually, Derek Forbert has been a heck of an addition. I would say he broke the record just the other game. He had 11 blocked shots and against Montreal, I think it was.
Yeah,
he broke the franchise record. I saw that. So that's pretty darn cool. I mean, a lot of people argue if you're blocking shots, you're playing without the puck. But if you're getting your team out of trouble, then and those are 11 saves that Hellebuck doesn't need to make. I mean, you can't really go wrong with that. So what a nice addition that guy's been for, what, a million a season? He's making $1 million, I think. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I like his jersey number, so.
Yeah, 2-4. That's yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many 2-4s does Jordan Curtis, friend of the show, how many does he owe you now?
So far, just one.
Yeah, just one. Okay. You're not looking too thirsty, so I'll let that sit for a little bit.
Yeah, so we can have a bad double or nothing lead sends this year. So I think he has the upper hand right now in game
three. Right. So with, I guess with Ottawa's kind of stumbling out of the gate a little bit to start the season. They've kind of turned it around. I mean, maybe we can go around the North Division and kind of touch on some of the teams here because we've got some news out of Calgary, right?
Yeah, that's Ottawa's beat them the last few times and they fired their head coach.
And yeah, I guess that's what happens. Don't lose to Ottawa, hey?
Yeah. And friend of the show, Cody Cleave, he wants to jump off a bridge.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Calgary's got a lot of talent. Calgary's a pretty good team, and they just haven't seemed to been able to maximize that under or Jeff Ward hasn't been able to maximize that after coming in for Bill Peters last season. So what's old is new again, and Daryl Sutter finds himself coach of the Calgary Flames. I don't know if this is the third time, but it's the second for sure.
So would he pull out the tongue in Calgary again?
What's that?
Would he pull out the tongue?
Oh, that was Craig McTavish.
Craig McTavish, yeah.
Harvey the Hound. That's a good little the listeners should look that one up. Craig McTavish yanking out Calgary Flames mascot Harvey the Hound's tongue during a game years ago, probably 25 years ago, I bet.
You remember I sent you the picture from almost two years ago?
Yeah, you did, yeah. Yeah, Daryl Sutter, he's a proven winner as a coach. He's won two cups with the LA Kings. I know he went to the final in 2004 with Calgary on that dream run that they had when they acquired Mika Kiprusoff for the first time. Probably one of my favorite playoff runs of all time. But it just seems a little bit strange that they're bringing in Daryl off the farm in Viking Alberta. It seems a little bit strange, but also it's familiar for Calgary fans, and I think Calgary's kind of underperformed, and if anybody's going to give them a kick in the arse, it's It's the handsome Daryl Sutter.
Yeah. And you going to go up north to northern Alberta?
Yeah, with Edmonton.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the same story with them. I mean, they score a lot of goals. They give up a lot of goals. It doesn't really seem to matter who's in the net or who's scoring. I mean, Connor McDavid could have 4 points and they could still lose. So not too sure what the answer is in Edmonton. They have a heck of a team. I mean, they're sitting in third, I believe. If not, maybe they hopped ahead of Winnipeg last night. Did they beat Calgary last night? I don't even know.
I'm not positive. I can double check here quickly.
Yeah.
And see.
Yeah, they've got a heck of a team. I mean, Edmonton has all the talent in the world, and it shouldn't be long before they taste some playoff success. But, I mean, they've only made the playoffs once since 2006-07, which was in 2016-17. I think they went to the second round in McDavid's second year or third year maybe. So they're due for some success here. And I'm not the biggest Oiler fan, but I mean, I'm rooting for that city because it's been pretty lame there for a long, long time.
So Edmonton won last night of 3-2.
So they're probably sitting 1 point behind Winnipeg right now.
1 point or 1 point ahead?
Probably. I don't know. Whatever.
not 100% sure. Calgary's, I know it's close. Calgary's playing Ottawa tonight, so.
Uh-oh. Don't lose. Don't lose, Calgary.
Don't lose.
I guess by the time the show comes up, the game will be over. Yeah.
So
Daryl, you might get canned, buddy.
Yeah, and then let's go to kind of like southwest of Edmonton, next province over of the Pacific
Canucks.
Of the Canucks, yes. Vancouver.
Yeah, so I don't know. The Canucks have kind of underperformed as well. I think a lot of people had some pretty high expectations for them, especially after last season. But losing Jake Markstrom to Calgary puts a hole in net. They managed to bring in Braden Holtby, but he's kind of been he's not looked like the Braden Holtby of old. So
he's pretty old.
Hey,
he's pretty old.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't even know how old he is. I'm a big fan of Braden Holtby. I always kind of thought for a long time he was the next best Canadian goaltender after Carey Price, but his play seems to have fallen off a cliff over the last couple seasons. Pettersson and Besser and JT Miller, I mean, they're top forwards are great. They've got Quinn Hughes, and of course Tyler Myers was brought in. They spent a lot of money on free agents there a few years ago when they they signed Louis Erickson to a crazy long deal, and I know he's still got a couple years left if I'm not wrong. And then Antoine Roussel and Jay Beagle, like they pay their grinders a lot of money, and I think that's going to come back to bite them shortly. But bottom line, Vancouver was a lot better than they were last year. This division kind of makes things a little bit weird, but I would expect them to play a little bit better down the stretch and make a run for the playoffs. Not too much of a threat to a team like Winnipeg, as who I think is going to make it, but again, Vancouver is a lot better than I think they're showing right now. So we'll see how it goes down the stretch.
Yeah, did I tell you the other day I got ketchup in my eye?
You got what?
Yeah, I got hindsight now.
Oh my goodness. You might as well just slap me in the face. Were you even listening to me when I was talking?
Yeah.
No, you weren't. You're like, I'm just waiting for this guy to shut up so I can tell him my ketchup joke. Oh, man, you're priceless. That was awesome.
Okay, let's fly to the Eastern Conference, so like Eastern Canada.
Yeah.
And start with Montreal.
The Canadians, well, I mean, the conversation kind of starts and ends with Carey Price, and we all know where his play's been at. It all kind of comes down to goaltending. They've just fired their coach as well.
Julian. Right after they played Ottawa, too.
Oh, jeez. Oh, the coach killers.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So, I don't know. They're paying Carey Price a lot of money to kind of, you know, carry the load here, but seems to be dropping the ball. So I don't know really know where that leaves Montreal and Marc Bergevin. I think kind of like Brad Tree living in Calgary, I think Marc Bergevin is probably sitting on his last head coach right now. I mean, he's not sitting on him, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens in those two cities. I think their GMs are kind of on short leashes, and if either of those teams misses the playoffs, I think you'll see big changes. And I think with the expansion draft coming up with Seattle coming in, I mean, Montreal, I don't know what they would have as a backup plan if they were to leave Carey Price exposed. But, I mean, maybe Carey Price finds himself headed west to be a Kraken, to get Kraken. I don't know. But, yeah, interesting team. I mean, they've been so hot and cold for a little while. They're sitting second in the East. I think they might have been first.
You think he will be a Kraken?
I can't speak for him, but you never know. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't really know what to make of Montreal. They're so hot and cold. So,
and
good song by Katy Perry, actually, Hot and Cold.
Yes. We think about the blue jerseys that Montreal wear once in a while.
Oh, they wore them against Winnipeg the other night, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually thought they were kind of nice. Montreal really, I think it's weird because they're supposed to be the red team and Toronto's kind of the blue team. But, I don't know, Montreal's never really screwed up a jersey, in my opinion. It's such a classy look. And, I'm a fan of them. I think they're pretty nice.
Friend of the show, Dave Turnbull, hates them.
Does he really?
Yeah. They're too much
really? Toronto. Really? How come?
Too much Toronto. They're supposed to be
too red. Too much Toronto? Oh, okay.
He's like, they're supposed to be red, not blue.
Yeah.
He was rattled.
Yeah, that's fair. I totally understand it from a Montreal fan's perspective.
Yes.
But I think they look pretty sharp.
Yes. And let's take the train down south and make a stop in Ottawa.
In Ottawa? Well, I mean, Ottawa's kind of exactly where we thought they'd be. I didn't think they would have taken the lives of two head coaches this year, but I've been a big fan of Drake Batherson.
Yeah.
I'm really, really happy to see him coming out as a top flight winger. I remember seeing him playing in the AHL for, what is it, Belleville Senators?
Yeah.
I remember going to see Belleville play the Moose a couple of years ago. Maybe it was even last year. I don't quite remember, but he really stood out to me, and I was, it's really neat when you go to watch those AHL games, you can usually tell like which players are going to take the next step. Like, which guys are really standing out. Like, I mean, with the Moose, right? Like, right away when you saw Jack Roslovic and Kyle Connor, it was like, those guys are NHLers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, Batherson was one of those guys. One guy, actually, kind of a funny story. I remember going to watch, it was the Lake Erie Monsters years ago. This would have been like 2005, probably. Something like that. Anyways, maybe a little bit later. But Johnny Boychuk, remember Johnny Boychuk?
Yeah.
Stanley Cup champion with the Bruins. I remember he was playing for Lake Erie, and I remember watching him in warm-up, and he had like these giant shoulder pads on, and he just kind of looked like he couldn't move. And he went out there, and I don't know what it was, but I just had my hate on for him, and I just thought he looked terrible. I thought he looked like a terrible hockey player, and I was like, this is Johnny Boychuk's never going to make the NHL, ever. And then he goes on to for like an 800-game career or whatever it was, and he wins the Cup with Boston in 2011. So he proved my theory wrong, but I guess he's the exception. But back on the Ottawa topic, they're just kind of where we thought they'd be, hey?
Yeah.
It'll be a couple of years before they're good again, but nice to see guys like Batherson and Tkachuk's playing well, and Stützle. How do you say it, Stützle or Stützle?
Stützle?
Yeah, I have no idea. But he's a heck of a player. Hey, isn't he awesome?
Yeah.
He looks like he's one of those kids that just, like, enjoys the game too, right? So I think he'll be a fan favorite in Ottawa for years.
Das Otto.
Das Otto. Nice.
And let's hop back on the train and go to the city of Toronto.
Yeah, your favorite team. I know you just talked about Ottawa, but Toronto is definitely your favorite.
No.
I think this is probably the best Toronto Maple Leafs team I think we've ever seen, at least in my lifetime. I know there's been some good ones that have won cups many, many moons ago.
No, before our time.
Yeah, with the likes of like Dave Keon and whoever else, and Tim Horton and those guys, Johnny Bauer between the pipes, right? Those were our grandpa's Toronto Maple Leafs, right?
Yeah.
So I think the city's got a lot to be excited about with Toronto. I think they're a heck of a hockey team. Auston Matthews pretty much scores every single game. I don't really see a weak spot in their game other than when they kind of get caught in those run-and-gun games like Edmonton does. I think Toronto can be a little bit weak defensively, and Freddie Anderson can be a little bit inconsistent. But overall, I would expect it's Stanley Cup. I wouldn't be surprised to see Toronto in the Stanley Cup final this year. And I don't want to say it hurts me to say that, because I don't really hate Toronto, but it's a little strange to think that Toronto could get there, right?
We both know Leaf fans, and they say, "Oh, the Leafs will make it to the Cup this year," but they they can't. Yeah. For some reason, can't get by Boston first round.
Yeah, they can't get by Boston, and I think this is where Toronto's in good shape, because they're not sitting in the same division as Boston or Tampa Bay this year.
Yeah.
So if they're still playing the Atlantic right now, I mean, Boston and Tampa would be right with them in the standings as well, right? So chances are you'd be finishing second, and you'd get Boston or Tampa Bay in the first round. And maybe they finally get by Boston this year, but I still think Tampa is the beast of the East. And we'll see how it all shakes down for the Leafs, but might be the best Toronto team we've ever seen.
That's the thing, is like the North Division, is it classified as the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference?
I don't 100% know how they're going to line that up. Because you play in your division for the first two rounds, right? Yeah. I don't know. I want to say they line up with the East, like with the East side, and then the Central goes with the Pacific.
Yes. Okay. I wasn't sure the North Division goes east to west, so like that's kind of
right. Yeah, they're kind of the exception, right? Where geographically you've got two teams on opposite coasts, right?
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I'm kind of wondering if they go like have the Central has Minnesota, I think, Dallas, Nashville, Florida. I don't know. It's like it's all
mixed. It sure would be weird this year, because I think you could actually end up with two teams that would traditionally be in the Eastern Conference could meet in the Stanley Cup final, or two teams from the West could do it this year for the first time, like really ever. Right. Cause the way it's lined up, like you've got Vancouver coming out of the East, say, and then you've got, say it's, well, Vancouver's not going to come out of the East. So let's say it's Edmonton, coming out of the Eastern Conference
and playing LA. And playing LA.
Yeah, playing LA, or we could go with Vegas, right? Because Vegas is probably the team, right? Something like that. So you could see a kind of a weird matchup coming out of this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting though. I was talking to a friend of the show, Super Shane Forrester, yesterday, and he was saying how much he loves the fact that the reoccurring games, like you get three games in a row against the same opponent. He's liking the fights seem to be coming back this year. I know he's a big fan of the rough stuff, so he's liking the playoff feel. Are you feeling that this year, like between these teams?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like old time hockey.
Yeah. It kind of has just. I mean, it is kind of lame when you're like, oh, I wonder who they're playing tonight. Oh, they're probably playing Montreal again. So it is kind of lame when you get that. I would like to see, you know, the Jets play against their traditional central teams a little bit more.
They're kind of doing the same thing in the AHL. Because starting on Tuesday, the Leafs are playing the Iceplex.
I did see that. Yeah.
And the next, they have the next eight games there. The first four games are against Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, then the next four games, I think, is like Belleville again or Toronto Marlies or,
yeah. You know, right.
They do like a four game home stands, like, or four games here, three games here, you know.
Yeah, like it's fine, but you know what I mean. Like, it would just be in the AHL. I guess they're kind of used to those games where you fly in for two games straight and then you fly out.
Well, I'm fine with two, and okay, fine. Oh,
yeah.
It's like if it gets to like 3-4, like okay, that's kind of like, it's kind of like playoff hockey. You only see that in playoff, right? It's like
yeah.
No, like, but like regular season, I don't want to see the team more than twice in a row.
No, but it is nice to see, like, when you get a game like Calgary to Edmonton where they want to kill each other, and then the game ends, and then it kind of carries into the next game.
Yeah.
It is kind of cool to see, like, you'll kind of get some of those traditional rivalries back by default this year, I think. You know, like Toronto and Montreal, they play each other so many times, and I know they don't really have that, you know, that kind of hatred that Calgary and Edmonton seem to right now, but it sure gives, you know, an opportunity to kind of develop that hatred when you're lining up, when you got Austin Matthews lining up against Brendan Gallagher, you know.
Yeah.
Three games in a row, he's going to probably want to tomahawk his head off, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on the CFL season?
I would just be happy to see it if it happens, you know. I really worry about the state of the league if it doesn't. All indications are, I believe, that it is going to happen, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like, so it, that's good. So that's kind of a... Go ahead.
I'm just wondering how they will allow, like, fans in stands.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not going to go all epidemiologist on anybody here, but I think... we saw with the NFL this year that they were able to pull it off, right, by having fans in the stands. We saw in the Super, everybody saw the Super Bowl where they were sitting at, I think, a quarter capacity in Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah.
And I think that we've kind of got the advantage that, you know, all the stadiums are outdoor. They're not enclosed. They're all pretty big. I don't know how many people you're going to get in the seats, but we've also got the seasons changing here. And it's pretty clear that, you know, a lot of people get sick in the fall and the winter, and then in the summer it kind of, you know, disappears a little bit. I'm not going to say that that's how it goes, but that's just kind of how I'm seeing things happen here. So my hope is that once spring kind of rolls around, you know, we see a little bit more or a little bit less of the coronavirus stuff, and, you know, maybe we get an opportunity to go to a Bomber game at, you know, 25% to 50% capacity. It would be pretty cool.
So I think the Bomber Stadium holds around 33,000 people. So you think they will allow around 11,000 people in the stands to allow the spacing?
It's tough to say, yeah. I can't really compare it to hockey because they haven't really brought anybody in, at least in the North Division. You know, in the South, even in New York, they're allowing 4,000 fans at Devils and Ranger games now. So... But again, football stadium isn't enclosed, right? So I think that the CFL kind of has that advantage. And I mean, it's a gate-driven league, right? They're not making any money off their TV contract. So this season needs to happen or else this league is in deep trouble because they can't take another season of losses. Because, I mean, they take losses to begin with, right? Some of those teams aren't making any money at all. Yeah. So. They depend on the Blue Bombers and the Rough Riders and those and even the Stampeders and the Eskimos, especially the teams out west. Like they're the real money makers for the league, and I really, really hope to see some CFL football this year. Crossing my fingers.
Can you name the only CFL American team to win the Grey Cup?
Oh, is it Baltimore?
Yeah.
I can't remember the Stallions. I think they're called
Stallions. Yeah.
Yeah, damn, I'm good. Okay. The only American CFL team to win it.
Yeah.
Didn't Las Vegas have a team too?
Yeah, and then they moved to Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay.
Awesome.
I give you.
Oh, sorry, before you go on.
Yeah.
I got one more thing to say about the CFL.
Yeah.
Bummer about Chris Schultz passing away, hey?
Yes. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you've seen Dave Turmel's tweet yesterday or the day before, and he got a phone call from Chris Schultz, and I tell him how this is 3 weeks into the CFL season, they hired Paul Laplies. And so I was like, congratulations, he's a great hire. He's like, yeah. And he didn't know who Dave was, and like he's from Dave, and like Dave was when he was working with the Bombers.
Yeah, he was working like communications with the Bombers or something.
So yeah, so like he phoned Dave and was like, yeah, thanks. And he kind of chatted in that, but
Schultz to me, he was like the face of the CFL on TSN to me. Like I think of guys like Jacques Clamy and Dave Randorf and Chris Schultz and Dunnigan, of course, right? Like they've been the face of the CFL on TSN for years, and so that's a heck of a loss for that crew.
We're not talking about Chris Schultz from John Taylor, right?
No. Just to different. Clarify for all our local listeners, you know, the big man, Chris Schultz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, young, 61. So that's 61, sad news. Yeah. I just wanted to talk about that before I forgot. Anyways.
Oh, I think right now, Cody won't be happy with the score right now.
Uh-oh. Calgary's getting smoked by Ottawa or what?
Up to nothing.
Uh-oh. Plan the parade. Fire the coach, Calgary. Fire the coach.
And
Daryl.
So, and Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this subject is on Tom Hanks.
Oh boy.
So,
Hanks, the actor, okay.
That actor, yes. So,
right.
I give you three movies.
Okay.
You have to name them if they're before the year 1997.
Or before 97.
Before or after. Before or after 97. When they came out. So.
Jeez. This is a really tough one. And I bet you probably picked a couple movies that came out right around then.
And
we'll see how this goes. Disclaimer for everyone listening. Not a movie guy. Very much a hockey guy. So we'll see how this goes.
So Save It, Private Ryan. Did it come out before 97 or after 97?
I would say that came out like right around 97. I'm going to say it came out in like 98, so I'm going to say after.
You're right. It came out in 98.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I've only ever seen half of that. I've never even seen the full version of that, so go me.
And, okay, Forrest Gump. Before or after 97?
I want to say Forrest Gump came out in like 94, so I'm going to say before.
You're right on before, and you're right on 94.
I was right again?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
And then Captain Phillips, before or after 97?
I don't know that one, so this is a complete guess. I'm going to say after. I don't know that movie.
After is correct. Yeah.
Okay, 2002.
Higher.
Okay, yeah, I don't know.
2004.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good. Wow, not bad, because if I know you were, we were talking a little bit beforehand, and I was like, man, other than, like, Castaway, like, I don't know any Tom Hanks movies off the top of my head. Like, I think he was in Toy Story, wasn't he?
Yes, he was Woody.
Yeah, he was. Was he Buzz Lightyear? No, that was... Was he Woody?
Woody, and then Tim Allen was Buzz.
Yeah, Tim Allen was Buzz, and Tom Hanks was Woody, right?
Yeah.
Right, and then I remember there was a Tom Hanks movie with he was in an airport. I think that was Tom Hanks.
And he
was like living in the airport or something like that.
I went to Netflix and looked at the years of what the three movies I want is. Do and there's all different movies on there with Tom Hanks.
Nice, yeah. He's done a lot of Disney stuff, right? Where he's been like voices and stuff. So
we're doing this on Zoom. My background is The Office,
right?
And So
when The Office, like the TV show, right?
The TV show, yes. And when Steve Carell's character, Michael Scott, walks into the back and talking to Holly, and she has a Woody on her desk.
Okay.
I'm trying to say. And see Michael Scott goes like, "Oh, I see you have a Woody."
Nice.
I was like, oh man. like
damn it.
I was like, it's playing on the Toy Story Woody and something else. Yep. It's like, oh man.
Ah, Steve Carell's the best.
Yeah. So
that's all.
And then yeah.
That's a funny one. Well, my cat's coming up in for the episode here. What's up, buddy? Hey.
Yeah, so right now AEW has a pay-per-view on right now.
Oh, nice. I heard that they were supposed to be introducing a new signing.
Yeah, I haven't really seen.
Because they brought in Paul White, the Big Show.
In the Big Show. And his shirt. Yeah. His shirt he came out with, he says, "No more BS."
Yeah, I you know, I didn't get that right away, and then I ended up getting it, and I was like, "Oh, I see what you did there, Paul White." Yeah, yes. That was a good one.
So.
That wrestling's good, hey? Like, is the pay-per-view good so far?
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. No, I've been a big fan of AEW since it came out. I know Transcona's Finest, Kenny Omega, is supposed to fight Dean Ambrose. Damn it. John Moxley tonight for the championship.
Yeah.
In some sort of exploding barbed wire match or something?
Yeah, it's like on three sides of the ring, there's barbed wire. And if you hit the barbed wire, it explodes. And like, if you don't explode it. Yeah, and then if they don't explode it, they automatically explode it. And like, it's different. Like,
yeah, I remember seeing a match between the two of them earlier. I think it was earlier when AEW came out in 2019, and they were getting like suplexed onto barbed wire, and like they ripped the padding off the ring, and like the two of them were just, man, like the amount of pain that those guys were going through to, you know, sell a match, like it just felt like wrestling, like the WWF of the 90s. Yeah. Like how violent it was.
Yes, like it's different.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is different. I've really enjoyed it so far, but yeah.
So thanks for coming on, Mr. T. Briggs.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah. It's always a pleasure. Really enjoy chatting hockey, and apparently I'm a big Tom Hanks guy, so look out.
Yeah. So yeah, I better go back to the office and make some sales calls.
Burnsy listens, he'll get that, but I didn't get that, so
yeah, because Stanley Hudson's working behind me here, so
sounds good, pal.
Yeah, he's picking up my slack, so drive drive safely.
Yes, you as well, and we'll talk soon, of course.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at Podcast Front Row and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.